ora, and welcome to Ngā Kōrero Ōaha, Creative Stories, a podcast from Te Kete Wānanga o Ōtautahi, Christchurch City Libraries. This is a series in which we share some of our most impactful and interesting stories happening within libraries. I'm your host, Claire, and in today's episode, we're bringing you a conversation between one of our librarians, Bridie, and the CEO of Victory Up, Henry Lawton. Following a recent staging of an esports League of Legends tournament at Tauranga, Bridie caught up with Henry to chat all things gaming, including his experiences growing up as a gamer, working with youth, and his aspiration to break down the stigma associated with gaming as a sport. Listeners, there may be gaming terminology in this episode you haven't encountered before, so don't be surprised if I chime in at times to bring you up to speed. Now to the conversation between librarian Bridie and the CEO of Victory Up, Henry Lawton.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to found Victory Up? Because I understand that it was you and I believe two other founders who kind of came together to create this really cool organization.
Yeah, so we've been gamers since high school, which is way back in 2000. I guess over the past 5 to 8 years, we got really competitive in NBA 2K on PlayStation.
NBA 2K is a series of basketball sports simulation video games. The premise of it is to emulate the sport of basketball, especially the National Basketball Association, the NBA.
And we found that there was no opportunities, no proving grounds for us to get out there and see how good we really were.
Right.
So, you know, it was always just a discussion over party chat while we were playing the game.
Chatting with each other in the match or in-game chat is called party chat.
We joined some Facebook tournaments that were being run by individuals, Twitter tournaments, and they only ever seemed to get so far before they failed. You would get to a playoff round and then the tournament would fall apart. And there's the ones that would scam you. You'll be playing in a match, all of a sudden you've lost your $100 entry fee.
Oh, no.
There's no prize money at the end. So we decided, let's just do something about it. Let's put some thought into actually creating an online platform where we can start hosting tournaments.
Yeah.
And build it from there.
And you've had such an incredible amount of success. It seems like, I know for me, working in the libraries, it's something that's super exciting for us to be able to have been a part of, and also super exciting for the teens, the kids who are able to enter into the tournaments.
Yeah, so esports isn't something new in New Zealand. No, it's been here in the high school scene. It's been here for the past 5 years. Let's Play Live, we're the first to run a high school league, really successful. And then the year after, we had another organisation come in, which was, I'm sure, it's Meta High School Esports. We also had University of Waikato step into the high school scene. And when we purchased the licensing for Riot Games, we decided we wanted to change how it had been operated the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Make it more encouraging to play, and our first year as a national sports operator.
Yeah.
It's just been amazing.
Yeah.
The uptake has been awesome. The feedback's been amazing.
I feel like giving information is primarily the thing that helps to sort of destigmatize gaming, because I know that for some of the kids, especially from their parents, when we're hosting the tournaments in the library, they kind of are on their phones to their parents, sort of explaining where they are. They're trying to get them to take it seriously. Mum, Dad, I can actually win something from this. I can actually gain something from this for my school. So it's really cool to be able to assist and be a part of something that is kind of changing the way people look at gaming and being in a competitive environment, I think.
Yeah, there's so many benefits to it, right? Sure, we don't have the physical side of it that you'd get from normal sports, which is, I think, stops a lot of people seeing it as a sport.
Yeah.
But everything else there, strategic thinking, leadership, teamwork, sportsmanship, it, all of that sits within the core of esports.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rangatahi who miss out on that because they don't play physical sports.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're exposed to that world. They're being recognised by their school. you can only be seeing something positive in that space.
Yeah, that sort of brings me into another thing I was very curious about, which is sort of accessibility in gaming. Mm. Because gaming, you know, notoriously, I think, consoles are expensive. You know, having an internet connection, not everyone is able to have one. So you dedicate your time and energy to this awesome organization that's doing this incredible work, and then you might find roadblocks in that some kids might not be able to access. So I believe your solution, part of your solution was this, was to get in touch with libraries?
We were really lucky, to be honest. Libraries were wanting to rehost another tournament as they did last year, and obviously that put us together for permissions around using the right titles and getting access to a certain server. That it just grew from there of, oh wow, we can actually make it more accessible. We can use this as a pilot to demonstrate around the rest of the country on how we can make this more accessible. And it also, for us, it had, there's always a dual purpose behind everything. And if we're driving rangatahi back into the libraries to be used, it can only be more beneficial for the libraries
as
well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a symbiotic relationship for sure. We get so much attention. It really drives numbers, and it gets people to, I think, look at libraries in a new light. Mm-hmm. It's more than just, you know, it's a building full of old books.
Yeah, the generational change definitely happened, right? You know, when I was at high school in the 2000s, you know, we still used libraries daily. And we notice, you know, the growth of the internet sort of, we know that pushed people away, because you could just sit down at home and go, oh, what do I need to research? What do I need to study? I can purchase this book, or I can rent this book without even leaving my house. But there's still a lot of benefits you miss out on, right, by not being at the library and that quiet zone, people around you who are studying the same stuff. So it's cool to be able to push people back into that space.
Yeah, it's very cool. It really builds, I think, a really powerful sense of community. And I think even just exposing young people to libraries, they bring their friends in. You know, I don't think there's anything more powerful than word of mouth when it comes to this kind of thing. But being able to boost gaming and use the social infrastructure of a library to do it, I think is incredibly cool. And I also think incredibly special. I don't think there are many places on earth where people have been able to achieve the same results that we've been able to achieve with help from you. So I guess thank you is a big one.
It's definitely a two-way street. We wouldn't have been able to do it without you guys and libraries down there. And it's definitely opened the eyes of other organizations around the country. And, you know, for Victory Up, that's always been a main goal, is we didn't want to come in here and put on the big boy pants and stop everyone from being involved.
Yeah.
We really want, you know, the industry's young, the industry needs growth. So we work with other organizations around New Zealand to sort of open up spaces. So in Rotorua, we work with Digital Natives Academy.
Wonderful.
So they have a digital hub that's targeted at rangatahi. Yeah. So why not use them? You know, and we've got the same in Hawera. We have a digital hub over there with the local iwi. And there's so many around the country that we could just be utilising, and it's just about giving examples and making those connections.
Yeah.
And for us, that's how it's, yeah, like you say, it's another way we can battle the equity issue that we are facing.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at our stats, Māori and Pacific Islander involvement this year was very low for our own liking.
Oh, shame.
But, you know, we have, I guess, plans in place on how do we achieve better numbers in that space. Being Māori and Fred, who's the third co-founder of us, being Pacific Islander, we know that computers are out of reach for our culture. Consoles aren't. Well, currently PlayStations and PlayStation 4s and Xboxes aren't out of reach because we've had a number of years to purchase them. You know, PlayStation's been around. PlayStation 4 was 10 years before PlayStation 5 came out. You know, so that's 10 years of a console you had a chance to get.
Yeah.
So we're looking at ways, okay, how can we incorporate more console games to sort of open up that space as well. So we're doing our best to try and identify other areas that we could work on.
it's incredibly important, and it sounds like something you're very passionate about as well, which is lovely to hear.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's I've been quite lucky in my upbringing. Mm-hmm. I've always been exposed to computers. We've had people in our house that were studying at university, and you know, they were studying IT coding. So there was always a computer around.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, they weren't for gaming. You know.
But you used them for gaming.
I used them for gaming when no one was up. Yeah. And you see it throughout the ages, right? Teaching changes. Teaching matches the situation that they're in. And it's the same with this. We notice that we get better results. You know, we run workshops on the side. We get better results communicating through Discord than we do with me standing in front of a group of students.
Discord is an instant message app for gamers to communicate with each other.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think if kids are spending a lot of time at home using Discord or Twitch or sort of any other platform to communicate with one another, and then they go into school and they're forced to be face-to-face, which is valuable. I don't think you or I would say that's not valuable, but it's different. It's a different dynamic for sure.
Twitch is a streaming service that enables people to live stream to others, especially to broadcast video games the streamers are playing to their audience.
Yeah, kanohi to kanohi is very, you know, when you live in it daily, very easy face-to-face. When you're separated, as COVID has done to us these last couple of years, even for myself, normal engagements that were normal prior to COVID became very, oh, this is strange.
Coming back into the real world, like, there is something so precious about being able to be face to face. But you feel it feels like a split. I think there's a split between being able to communicate just casually. You don't have to look someone in the eye. I think for kids who have maybe been forced to feel anxious by an increased awareness in maybe mental health in New Zealand, as well as just as you said before, the evolving society, the evolving times of, you know, being so technology based.
Yeah. And it's just finding the positives in everything, right? It's very easy to find negatives. And I could find a dozen negatives of face to face. You know, it's just we need to be concentrating on those positives.
Yeah.
What can we do? What's the good we can do with this space? Yeah. And there's so much untapped potential within this space.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to hit it all at Victory Up. We're only going to hit a sliver of it.
Oh, but worth it, which is why it's so incredibly precious and why I was so excited to be able to talk to you about it as well.
Yeah, it's that competitive scene. It's... Oh, it is. It's that intensity within the room is, you know, absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
The emotional roller coaster that they go through, that you witness.
Yeah.
You know, for the finals that we had this year, you know, we sat within the voice chat, and a lot of it was, you know, part of our policies, make sure that online communication is safe.
Yeah.
And we were sitting within those, and the ups and downs that these players experienced throughout the whole finals was just unreal.
Yeah.
But the coping mechanisms that they had built for themselves and as a team to pull themselves out of ruts, that was even better to listen to.
Mm.
You know, they're a lot more resilient than we think.
Yeah.
And gaming's helping with it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think that's where, you know, people talk around, it's just a game. For a lot of these students, it's not.
Mm.
It's their rugby. It's their netball on a Saturday.
Absolutely.
And the difference is, you know, when we play physical sports, we're playing once a week, so we're only going to lose or win once a week.
Yeah.
When I'm playing esports, man, I could lose 10 times a week
before
I even win. Or win. Yeah, or win. We've definitely got a lot of, you know, we watch a lot of content creators and streamers who actually play on overseas servers from New Zealand,
yeah.
You know, with delay, so with heavy ping, high ping,
yeah.
Who are, you know, they're amazing. They're winning on those sort of handicaps.
Yeah.
Ping describes how fast a data signal travels between a user's computer and a server. Low ping is great for gaming. ping is measured in milliseconds.
And for us, and that's one of the drivers with Adrian here at Victory Up, is imagine seeing our people on an even playing field.
Yeah, that'd be wicked. You
know, what's that going to look like on the world stage?
Mm-hmm.
And we already know it with our professional sports teams, you know, in traditional sense.
Yeah.
We can play with the rest of the world.
Yeah, we can go toe-to-toe. We just need the shot, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And that's all we're trying to build is that shot, that solid foundation. You know, you have a solid high school ground of sports, you know, that's a feeding ground into a professional realm.
Absolutely.
And it gives you an opportunity to sort of, at the same time, get it out of your system.
Yeah.
You know, we live in the age of, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be a TikToker.
Absolutely.
I want to be a content creator. If you get a shot at it, you know, I guess that's what I want to do in the future. All of a sudden you realize, actually, don't like it. Don't want to be a content creator. That's a lot of work.
I think sometimes people don't realize quite how much work something like that is. Even being like an Instagram influencer, YouTuber, Twitch streamer, the amount of time investment and passion you need to funnel into it. It's the same as any other creative pursuit. The self-motivation you need, I think, is the sort of thing that gaming teaches. So we know that there's been a league tournament that finished. I was involved with helping to host it at the libraries, which was really cool. I understand that you've got a Valorant. You're getting ready to host a Valorant tournament. Is that right?
Oh, so with the high school league, we had 4 game titles running in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
They were on different days.
Ah.
Tuesday was Valorant.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was League of Legends. Thursday was Rocket League. And that was happening all over the country.
League of Legends is a strategy game with multiple players facing their opponents in an online battle arena where each player controls a character who has a special set of skills. Valorant is a shooter game in a shooter universe with a 5-person shooter team. With such different characteristics, the two don't really mix. Rocket League, developed by Psyonix, is like soccer, with cars where you work as a team to outmaneuver opponents, advancing the ball down the field to score goals.
I didn't know you guys had Rocket League. Is that only for high schoolers?
So we every game title that we offer in the high school league and in the tertiary space, we are including it on our public space as well.
Oh, excellent.
So which we're working on releasing very soon.
Ah, that's so cool. That's so exciting.
But we really wanted to get this sort of grassroots scene going first, especially in the high schools.
I'm aware, just from my own personal interest, that there is a lot of money in gaming, especially overseas, even just to do with things like sponsorships. And it'd be super cool, some of the futures of these kids who are involved in that kind of thing, being able to tap into that resource. It's a whole financial bracket that I don't think New Zealand has tapped into. And there's a lot there to work with.
We are well behind.
Yeah.
Even in our game development side of it, you know, we're very far behind. You know, it's a $1 billion industry and we haven't even cracked, you know, $500 million.
Mm.
You know, and once we start getting that government support and, you know, once they see it as their opportunity for New Zealand and get that support, it's just going to go gangbusters.
Gangbusters.
Yeah,
let's go.
I got that from my old boss.
Gangbusters. Let's go. I haven't heard that before. I like that a lot. Yeah. Any big plans for 2022?
For us, we really want to dip into the regions themselves and actually help solidify them and make them, you know, I guess local sponsorship within that space.
Yes, that sounds wicked.
This year we had national sponsorship that gave coverage over the whole of the tournament. We're still in discussions with the team about this, but we really believe that by sort of regionalized sponsorship gives an opportunity for the growth to happen a lot more organically within that space.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming over the top with a sort of overall national sponsor may work a bit better to encourage growth. We want to start seeing more schools stream and broadcast. We still have our broadcast that we want to do, but it'd be great to get some more schools involved, sort of going, putting their hands up saying, hey, we want to stream the game so Victory Up can highlight them.
Yeah.
Because there's just that opportunity to learn there is just so fresh. and new.
That's wicked.
That we just want to get behind it.
Ah, it is so exciting. That's wicked. Thank you so much, Henry. I really, really appreciate it.
No worries. No, I appreciate you taking the time to actually talk to me, so it's cool.
Kia ora anō, it's me again. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ngā Kōrero Auaha, Creative Stories. I hope the conversation between Bridie and Henry has provided you with some insight into the wondrous world of gaming. Keep an eye out for future esports tournaments at the library and check out the Victory Up website for ways you can get involved if you're curious. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, you can find more episodes of the Library Stories podcast on our website, christchurchcitylibraries.com, and on most podcast platforms. Until our next episode, ka kite anō.